This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The New Yorker Radio Hour is supported by the Sympathizer podcast from HBO. From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr., The Sympathizer is the new HBO original limited series based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel of the same name. On The Sympathizer podcast, join host Philip Nguyen in conversation with the cast, crew, and author Viet Thanh Nguyen as they discuss the making of this historic series. Stream new episodes of HBO's The Sympathizer, Sundays exclusively on Max, and listen to The Sympathizer podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
Listener supported, WNYC Studios.
We're going to hear another scary story now, and if you've watched the sci-fi show Black Mirror, this one might seem kind of familiar, but it happens to be absolutely true. Here's our contributor, Simon Parkin.
I heard this story the other day. There's this guy, let's call him Clive, he's English. And he's at work on a Friday afternoon in London. He's an executive at this multinational company. And his phone rings. He picks it up, and on the other end is his boss. Let's call the boss Johannes. He's German. Johannes is frantic, panicking. He tells Clive there's been a major bookkeeping error. The company has missed an important payment. Clive needs to send a huge chunk of money, hundreds of thousands of euros, to a particular account immediately.
Johannes called me by name. He explained that if the payment was not made that day, they would incur large late payment penalties. I thought this was rather strange. As I recognized the voice as that of Johannes, I agreed this could be done. And Johannes said he would email me the payment details.
So he hangs up, opens the email from Johannes with the payment details, and wires the money. The transaction clears. Crisis averted. A couple of days go by, and Clive's at his desk when his phone rings. It's Johannes again. There's been another bookkeeping error, and he needs Clive to wire even more money. So Clive hangs up and goes to set up the transfer. But this time, he notices the account details look kind of fishy. So he thinks, I should double check, make sure this is really right. Clive picks up the phone, and he calls Johannes.
I telephoned Johannes' mobile number. As soon as I spoke to Johannes, it became obvious that he knew nothing about the calls and emails I had received.
Clive panics. He's just transferred more than 200,000 euros of company money to, well, who knows where. And as he and Johannes are trying to figure out what to do, his cell phone rings. And he picks it up. And it's Johannes, who he's already talking to, on the other line.
His voice was still recognizable as identical to the real Johannes, but as soon as I asked who was calling, the line went dead.
So, of course, the company calls the police. Then they call in their fancy insurance company with its team of investigators, and they all set about trying to figure out what happened here. A couple of weeks later, they reach a conclusion. It wasn't supernatural. Our guy hadn't been talking to Johannes from the future or Johannes' evil twin brother. He had been talking to a computer. These tech horror stories can seem abstract. Somewhere far away, people are doing something with tech to hurt people you don't know, usually rich and powerful people. But then you hear a story like this. A regular guy in an office gets conned by a robot, pretending to be his boss. Suddenly it seems like one of these scary stories might just happen to you. This particular story took place in March this year. The scammer stole 220,000 euros, about $245,000. You've been hearing readings from the first-hand account written by the British executive who was the target. The name of the European energy company he works for is being kept under wraps by the authorities, but I did talk to this guy.
My name is Rüdiger, and so if it's too difficult for you, just call me Roger, it's easier.
I'll go with Rüdiger Kirsch. He's an insurance investigator who worked on the case.
So you see, three times he talked to the fake Johannes, and three times he had absolutely the understanding talking to the real Johannes, because the fake Johannes had absolutely the voice of the real Johannes.
Rüdiger had never seen a case quite like this before. To figure out what was going on, he basically went through a process of elimination.
I think you have two possibilities. First, you should think about a software to manipulate this voice. Or perhaps you have something like a voice imitator.
A voice imitator, like someone who is just unbelievably good at imitating Johannes. But Rüdiger and his team know that these kinds of scammers don't have the resources to find, train and deploy a different impressionist for every con they run.
I called two former hackers who are now consultant and help our companies to prevent these attacks. And they told me, sorry, you're absolutely right. It can't be a voice imitator. It must be software which is done by a hacker. Yeah, and after all, we are really convinced that it was definitely a voice imitation software scam. So something like deepfake audio scam. Yeah.
So Kirsch is saying that somewhere out there is a scammer with a computer program. He types some words and the program reads them aloud in Johannes' voice. That's a deepfake. Deepfakes are pictures or videos or audio made using a very powerful form of artificial intelligence called deep learning. So the way it works is you feed a deepfake program a bunch of recordings of your target, their wedding video or podcast or TED Talk, something like that. Once the program has seen enough clips, it will let you make new video or audio of the person saying or doing whatever you want. You can imagine how if you have a program that lets you make anybody say anything, that might be kind of dangerous. For example, you could feed a deepfake program a bunch of clips of a famous politician, and just a few minutes later, the program would let you make something like this.
Hi, everybody. This night I am happy to share with you a small announcement about a cool startup called Liveverb. They launched today their website where you can create a digital copy of your voice.
That's an ad for an AI company called Lyrebird. That's L-Y-R-E bird, like the species that mimics human speech.
They only need you to record 1 minute of audio. This is just the beginning and they are working hard to improve their results.
The hard work is paying off. Deepfake tech is improving quickly. That Obama clip was from almost 2 years ago. Here's what deepfake audio sounds like today.
It's me, Joe Rogan. Please come save me, man. These artificial intelligence guys have trapped me in a machine.
This is a deepfake of the podcaster Joe Rogan, made earlier this year by a company called Dessa.
Being a robot has its benefits. I can pronounce tongue twisters now. Check this out. Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled peppers. How many pickled peppers did Peter Piper pick?
Deepfake apps aren't just becoming more powerful, they're also getting more accessible. Right now, today, you can make a passable clone of your voice in just a couple of minutes using Lyrebird's web app. I did it myself. Here, listen.
All you need to make a deepfake of your voice is a microphone, an internet connection, and maybe a bit of peace and quiet.
That recording makes me nervous. This is becoming technology that anyone can use. That includes disgruntled employees and abusive ex-boyfriends. Their targets won't be big energy companies. Their targets will be regular people, like you or me. I talked with Carrie Goldberg. She's a victims' rights lawyer in New York who specializes in helping average people who have been the targets of online attacks, including deepfakes.
I mean, like, one of my first cases 5.5 years ago was actually somebody who was Photoshopped. And Photoshop was really the kind of the precursor to this, where her bikini was Photoshopped off, and then it was submitted to a porn website. And we had the same issues with that case that we have, you know, that we see with deepfakes. The technology doesn't require a computer science degree. It's very easy to use. It's very available. It's downloadable on, you know, mainstream places. And so there's really no barrier to entry here.
Companies that make deepfake technology want it to be easy to use. They didn't develop this stuff so that scammers could steal from multinational companies. They say they're working towards a world where deepfake tech will help people who lose their voices because of illness, like ALS, or where deepfaking makes it easier to edit movies and podcasts. But as Carrie Goldberg told me, these utopian visions often come with blind spots.
Since the beginning of Silicon Valley, there's never been people developing products and saying, how can this be abused? You know, what's going to go wrong with this dating app that uses geolocating technology? And it's an arithmetic certainty that if you have a dating app with geolocating technology, that occasionally it's going to be abused by predators, stalkers. People aren't asking those questions by and large because they don't have to, because you've got, you know, historically a very homogenous pool of engineers and developers and founders in this industry who aren't the same population of people that become victims. To me, that's the problem, is that there's no consciousness when it comes to developing safe products. I do see this becoming a bigger and bigger issue, particularly if offenders become arrogant and are like, well, you know, this kind of falls between the cracks of the laws, so I might be able to get away with this.
And in the example of the fake Johannes case, the thieves did get away with it.
The money they paid is just away. We have no chance to get this money back.
Here's Rüdiger Kirsch again.
So this is an absolutely good method to earn very much money in a very quickly in a short time.
There's no widely available tech on the market yet to reliably identify deepfakes. Most experts will tell you the best defense is skepticism. Just don't take it for granted that the things you watch or you listen to are what they seem to be. Though, who wants to live like that? Doubting every video, every recording, every phone call.
Simon Parkin writes for us about technology and the internet. You can find his work at newyorker.com.
This is Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, the Science Friday team has been reporting high-quality science and technology news, making science fun for curious people by covering everything from the outer reaches of space to the rapidly changing world of AI to the tiniest microbes in our bodies. Audiences trust our show because they know we're driven by a mission to inform and serve listeners first and foremost with important news they won't get anywhere else. And our sponsors benefit from that halo effect. For more information on becoming a sponsor, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.